I speak to you in the name of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Amen. On the Thursday after Easter in 1989, during a long-needed rainstorm, on the Hamilton Avenue exit from I-84 in Waterbury, Connecticut, between a cemetery and a commuter parking lot, my car died. Several minutes of sputtering noises had preceded a subtle but clear loss of engine power until I coasted to a stop a long way from anywhere. After waiting for help, during which time nobody even slowed down going past my car, I went to find a tow truck. I walked a long way through the rain, past an empty factory, until I came to Ernie's Body Shop. From there, I was able to phone the Eastwood Garage. And in short order, my car had been towed to the garage, where a quick examination revealed a dead battery and a frayed alternator belt. During the two hours, I was at the Eastwood Garage, I learned many things. I learned, again, how little I know about the working of automobile engines. I learned how long 2 hours could be when there's nothing to do. I sat, I paced, I stood in the main waiting room of the garage, and I examined every item there. There were no interesting magazines available, only the monthly sales journal from Vanguard Tow Truck Company, the monthly magazine for auto repair professionals, and a catalog of uniforms including vests for bartenders and blazers for motel desk clerks. I found out that 10 cents bought 8 peanut M&Ms, 25 cents got 13 cashews, 5 cents bought 7 hard candles shaped like bananas, apples, and pears. Toward the end of my 2 hours, the general manager of the Eastwood Garage walked past me to check on the battery charger, and he asked me, "Is it done yet?" My afternoon sojourn to the Eastwood Garage was memorable for many reasons, but what lingers most, is the feeling that I spent 2 hours in some other world than the one I normally live in. I could see through the large plate glass in front of the waiting room. I could see cars driving past on East Main Street. And I wondered, can they see me? Do they know I'm in here? Do they care? Their cars are working. They have not had to cancel home communion visits or work at the office. They are somewhere else than the Eastwood Garage. That experience of finding yourself in another world, of entering a house in which time has stopped, of getting off the highway to buy gas in a town that has never changed, of getting suddenly lost in the city as you just drive through a city on vacation, to be suddenly in another place, another world, to feel frightened or helpless or fascinated, to know that you won't be there forever, is sometimes a moment of transcendence. It is the stuff of great stories, and it is the constant experience of those who believe that the world changed forever one night in the black vault of a tomb. During the next 6 Sundays, we will be shown just a glimpse of another world, a world unlike the one we live in every day. It is a world of exotic images, of cryptic sayings, of colorful crowds, of lambs turned to shepherds, and water like crystal, and cities like gold. During the 50 days of Easter, we will pass through the bizarre world of the Book of Revelation. And while it may seem like science fiction at times, that world is as real for us as the Eastwood Garage was for me. Different, hard to comprehend, but real and trustworthy. At the time the revelation to John was written, Christians were under severe duress. Faith was threatened. Lives were forfeit, and the community was in great danger. Such a time called for clandestine communication, and the revelation offered hope for the persecuted, told in code to reach those who knew the code. Every day, those Christians lived in the world of capricious emperors and Roman legions. Christians became the target of the peculiar intolerance of the dogmatically tolerant. They worked their jobs, they believed in secret, they fitted into the cosmopolitan rhythm of Roman imperial cities. It was a world of power and ambition, of personal anxiety and great social stress. But on the Lord's Day, they entered a different world. For a brief time, they rested in a world of compassion and care for the weak. They gathered in love around a table to celebrate a world where death is not the end and suffering transforms life. These early Christians assembled in their homes, participated in a world of such liberation and joy that nothing in their other world could cause them despair. Before that Thursday, I had never heard of the Eastwood Garage. But it was the world I needed when my car died. And even my serendipitous recollection of my afternoon at the Eastwood Garage cannot block the peculiar grace I received there. My car was fixed. I was allowed to return to my normal world of people to see, reports to write, and dinner to cook for my hungry family. Imagine, if you will, this place, St. Catherine's Church, as an Eastwood Garage for all who've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Perhaps it's a world within the world, and perhaps when we assemble here on the Lord's Day, we live, if only briefly, in a world of such liberation and joy that nothing in our other world can cause despair. In our daily life, there is plenty of power and ambition. There's enough anxiety to spare. Jealousy and resentment bind us up. Tedium wears us down. And failure is cause for regret. But here, in this world, which opens so briefly, failure is not terminal. The weakest one is worth as much as the power broker. Kinder and gentler is more than a campaign slogan. And the breath of a dead man made alive brings peace and forgiveness. It would be a mistake to assume that the world born in the pouring of water and the breaking of bread is less real than the world out there. Our worlds open onto each other, which is what makes it both frustrating and possible to live in them both. After Peter and Susan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe confronted the professor with Lucy's story of this magical world inside the wardrobe and Edmund's denial of the story, Peter finally blurted out, "But do you really mean, sir, that there could be other worlds all over the place, just around the corner, just like that?" "Nothing is more probable," said the professor. If our brief sojourn in this world, graced by love, forgiveness, and joy, routes us back into our other worlds with greater hope and courage, then I say simply in the ancient cry of this holy season, Alleluia. Amen.